Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
I'm Steph Wentworth, and you're listening to the Autosport Podcast. Well, McLaren have finally taken the wraps off the MCL 38. After an eventual successful 2023, the team are hoping to extend those positives and come out in 2024 with a bang. They developed in the fight for podiums and will be hoping to continue and fight for wins in 2024. With Lando Norris also extending his contract recently, the future is looking bright from the Woking team. I am Steph Wentworth, and joining me here we have John Noble and Matt Kew. Thank you to the both of you for joining us, and welcome. Firstly, let's talk about the real car, because McLaren did surprise us a little bit. They dropped the livery back in January, but now we have seen the real MCL 38. McLaren seem very secretive about it. John, what have we learnt from these new images released today?
Well, we call it a real car, but I'm not quite sure it is actually the real car. It's been quite intriguing, because the launch images today, they were quite dark and they weren't close up. And it was my colleague, Matt Summerfield, who actually noticed it, that when you looked at different angles, the floor was different. So it's fairly clear they're trying to hide stuff, not show us the real deal, as I think a lot of teams are doing. And we spoke to Andreas Seller and Lando Norris earlier on today, and someone asked them, why was the launch today not, you know, rah-rah, big, you know, in front of fans and in front of the media and sponsors as they normally are? And Lando said it's a performance game, basically. Why would we want to give away any of our performance secrets? So I think the reality is, I think there's a lot more to come from this car. I think especially in that critical floor area, we're going to see developments. But what we have seen today is a car that's both an evolution of last year, because they made some great progress, so you can see the trends, but there are some pretty interesting steps too, like the side pods. They've kind of moved one step forward in terms of the side pods that both Red Bull and McLaren had last year. So it's kind of the next phase. I think we'll see something similar from Red Bull tomorrow as well. So it's an interesting step, but I think we can hold fire on what this car is really like until we get to the test or maybe the first race. But they're going to wheel some new bits out, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and what about you, Matt? What did you kind of make of those images we saw earlier?
Similar to John. John's more of like the tech expert than me, so I can look and go, it's all nice shiny surfaces. But I think from sort of, we saw the RB20 brake cover at Silverstone, some great people taking spy shots and sort of zooming in them, trying to make them as sort of as least pixelated as they can. And the McLaren sort of looks broadly similar. I know we've all sort of latched onto that side pod design during this ground effects era. And it's really simple to say, like, it's really sort of simple to say this, but the fact is that it looks broadly similar to what the top in class are doing. That's positive, because what we all want is a more entertaining season than last season. So if their car is that bit closer to Red Bull, then bring it on. But like John said, like Andreas Seller has said in this media call, it's not like a complete red herring what they've shown, but this is not the final car. So yeah, we'll be there with some photographers and pen and paper, I guess, on the first day of Bahrain testing, see what the car really looks like.
Yeah, and I think you've both really alluded to the fact that it's more developing what happened in 2023 for McLaren. John, what has the team principal, Andrea Stella, actually said about this year's concept? Is it more of an evolution of that car that we saw towards the end of last year?
Yeah, I think it's building on the success of last year, but I think equally they've had a few kind of problems to dial out, because we had this kind of phenomenon last year where that car moved dramatically forwards. And then, you know, we'll all remember, you know, Silverstone in the British Grand Prix and Lando leading, and that team suddenly had gone from start of the season battling pretty much at the back of the grid to fighting right at the front by mid-season, and they built on it. But there were some quirks kind of came with those upgrades. We saw Lando Norris, you know, often make mistakes in qualifying, would prove costly. So I think they spent a lot of the winter trying to dial out some issues that had kind of been put into the system, perhaps similar to what we saw at Aston Martin, is that they improved that car, the balance went away and they weren't as comfortable. So Andrea says they've had to address that. They haven't addressed it all on the launch spec. There's more to come. They're working away and plotting the development. So I think they've addressed that. They've tried to address the tyre degradation, because they weren't fantastic on tyre deg last year. It was a big weakness at the start of the season. They made improvements, but they weren't as close as where they wanted to be to the Red Bull. So they've worked on that. And straight line speed as well. It's been aero efficiency was one of their key problems last year. So it's these three key areas they've kind of pushed on. So I think it's a mixture. I don't even call it 100% evolution. It's not 100% revolution, but somewhere in the middle. So I don't really know what we would call that.
I guess we'll wait and see once the cars get out on track. Moving on to the drivers, Lando Norris did recently sign that long contract extension with McLaren, so he is committed to the team for the next few years, and also had a quick shakedown at Silverstone earlier today. John, what were his thoughts on the car when you spoke earlier on?
Not much to say, really. It's a shakedown test, so you know, you're limited on mileage, you're on tyres that aren't the proper tyres you're racing on, and further compounded today by it being wet, so there wasn't particularly much to learn from today. I think today's just a process of running through the systems, just checking any initial problems. So there'll be some more running, obviously, in Bahrain. So I think we'll get a clearer indication where on the proper tyres, because we're talking about a Formula One field where half a second is the difference between battling potentially for P2 and getting knocked out tail end of getting knocked out in Q1. So these are small differences, and those differences are only going to come to light when you're pushing it to the edge. So I think for now, no alarm bells. Everything seems all right. He seems happy with how it's been in the simulator. But it's going to be a critical week next week, I think, because none of the teams know where they're going to stack up. I think they all feel that at best they're going to be second behind Red Bull, but they can't all be second. So some teams are going to be very disappointed in 7 days' time.
Yep. Some of the teams have to lose out, don't they? Matt, Lando is a really experienced driver now, and he's got that integration within the McLaren team, having been there for years. He's very much considered the team leader. Does he have any pressure on him going into this season ahead with the likes of Oscar Piastri as his teammate alongside him?
Yeah, I think that's a massive source of pressure. You know, I'm sure it'll be a little bugbear for Norris that, having guided the team through the ups and downs, having seen off Ricciardo, the young kid comes in and nicks that sprint race win. Okay, it's not a Grand Prix victory, but he's got to the top step of an F1 podium before Norris. So I'm sure that sort of is living in his head rent-free. And Piastri did come on phenomenally strong as the car developed throughout last year. So I think, yeah, Norris is the experienced one, the team leader, but he's got to make sure that, you know, he keeps that position in the qualifying heads-to-heads, and, you know, where the car's reliable, outscoring his teammate, which, you know, I think from what we've seen, he's got absolutely the capacity to do that. He's a phenomenal driver. But, you know, Piastri's proved himself to be such a prestigious talent. Obviously, they've both committed to McLaren on long-term contracts. A side note, sort of just in the nick of time with Norris, because now there is that Mercedes seat up for grabs for 2025. But they're both committed, so, you know, they need to keep working together and sort of focus on that main prize, which is moving McLaren forward, going after Red Bull. And, you know, there's no point when they've got a few seasons stretching out together to go to sort of all-out war in this intra-team battle. But I think, you know, McLaren have got that great thing, which Red Bull are lacking. Mercedes do have, Aston Martin are lacking, which is where if your lead driver on whatever day drops a ball, reliability, slow pit stop, they will have a Piastri or a Norris to, you know, step into that gap to play rear gunner to allow them to split strategies. It's such a well-matched driver lineup. So that's sort of something to be really envious of. And then just sort of manage that well, bring each other along well. But yeah, I think Norris, he's very at ease with his standing, isn't he? He's a celebrity, he's phenomenal in car, he's loyal to McLaren, they love him. I don't think he's going to be sweating too much.
Especially not after that phenomenal campaign last year from Oscar Piastri, because although he is a rookie, you know, he does have the raw speed and the talent to challenge Lando. What do you think he needs to do himself this year? You mentioned the intra-team dynamics and making sure that you maintain that balance within the team, but is there anything that Oscar needs to do to assert himself in that team a little bit more?
I'm going to cheat a little bit to make myself sound more informed. I spoke to him in the final races last year, and he said a big thing for him is going to be the off track. So, you know, he was coming into F1 and basically messed up his logistics a little bit. He was flying at silly times, you know, basically overexerting himself, not allowing him enough sort of rest and recovery. So he's going to refine that outside of the car, so that, you know, this longest ever season, as we keep repeating, looks really daunting on the horizon. But if you can just turn up with sort of 2-3% more energy, having a better night's sleep in business class or whatever it is, then that'll go no end. But the fact that, you know, we expect McLaren, okay, they've said they've missed some innovations off this launch spec car, they should sort of relatively hit the ground running, and sort of from where he ended the last season, he's got a lot of momentum behind him. If McLaren have sort of, with their updates last year, they did introduce some like tricky handling on the car, it would snap. So if they've dialed out and it's like a smooth ride to begin with, then I think he'll just build on last year. I suppose the only difference is that we saw a few times on track where I think rivals underestimated him. You know, case in point, was it with Russell in Austin, where Russell sort of tried to bully his way around and then Piastri answered back a bit. So I don't think anyone will be underestimating him this year, and I don't think anyone will be giving him an inch of space.
Well, as we did mention earlier, the McLaren last year didn't start off the most competitive, and as you've both mentioned, they brought updates throughout the season which made them far more competitive. They were able to challenge for those podiums. Do you think that they can continue that and potentially be challenging Red Bull for wins? I think we're all, you know, fairly certain that Red Bull is going to be right at the top of the field as well, but with McLaren having such a successful back end of 2023, they've got that momentum going into 2024. What do you make of that, John? Do you think that in reality they will be able to challenge for wins this year?
I think it's probably going to be a season, and Lando Norris alluded to this because I asked them the question, that the fact that grid had closed up so much towards the end of last year and everyone's anticipating it being exactly the same. Fernando Alonso at the launch, we spoke last weekend, this week's gone by in a blur, talked about his biggest concern was that the field is so close now that tiny fractions of a second are going to be the difference between you having a weekend where you're stuck at the back and can't do anything and being right at the front. So I don't think it's going to be a season where we get 2x2 order all the time and you've got a definite team that's going to emerge as the second fastest, third fastest, fourth each weekend. I think there's going to be a lot more fluctuations. Teams are going to be super strong one weekend because they've nailed the setup. Tires are in the window. The drivers have got it right. Everything's fallen into play. And potentially those days, they can beat Red Bull. But equally, there's going to be weekends where they get it wrong. They're dumped out in Q2 or even Q1, and it's much more an uphill struggle. So I think it's about kind of ironing out those weak weekends, making sure you capitalise on the weekends when you've got that opportunity and getting up there. But I think Red Bull, got no doubts Red Bull will start the season strong. The car looks particularly interesting from those kind of secret shots we got yesterday of it. So they've clearly made a step, even though they've called it, I think, the third evolution was what Adrian Newey called it, but it seems much more than that. But maybe the others will catch up. Maybe the diminishing returns at the front are playing out and we're going to have things even closer and a lot of shocks along the way.
Matt, how do you make of that? What do you think? Do you reckon McLaren are going to be up there at the front? As you said, guys, before, not all of the teams can be at the front of the grid, but I think McLaren have a pretty good chance of being up there, don't you, Matt?
Yeah, I think they're a good source of optimism for all of us. Like, there is no bias here. It doesn't matter if it's a Haas or a McLaren or an Aston Martin. For a better season, you need someone to go after Red Bull. And, you know, Andrea Stella has been like brilliantly honest since he took that top job. So he said last year, the car's off it, we will start solely. Then he said, hang on, we've got some mega upgrades, we will be more competitive. And so it came to be. This year, he's saying there's a few bits that's not on the car, but we've evolved well. And we're no sort of, there's still basically room to improve. It's not as if they, you know, bolted on a load of bits and now that much closer to the absolute ceiling. They say there's still lap time, there's still a steep development curve to this car. Okay, that doesn't mean they're going to find half a second every time they bolt on a new wing for Silverstone like they did last year. But there is scope, you know, whatever we see in Bahrain, they can still build on that. So if they are that bit closer to Red Bull, and again, like when you asked John and I, are they going to go for race wins? Well, it's that, isn't it? That when Red Bull have a miscue, they can go for wins. We're not saying it's going to be a drawn out championship battle that's going to go down to the wire in Abu Dhabi. But if there's a bit more, you know, if Red Bull do have to sweat, if Perez does drop the ball and someone else is there, and equally if Lando Norris does have a few more snaps of oversteer and then he's lining up ninth or 10th, that unpredictability, that variance will make it more exciting. But I suppose to stop sitting on the fence, yeah, I think they will be there or thereabouts. You know, new wind tunnel, some major hires coming in this season, a good driver lineup. Like the ingredients are all absolutely there.
Absolutely. And finally, let's kind of wrap it up. We've seen a lot of the teams this year go down the Red Bull route in terms of their side pods. But John, as you mentioned in a previous video, the suspension layout has been a big talking point in this season. Do you think it's going to carry on that year? Do you think it's going to be a big factor?
It's interesting because we, you know, you look at cars from the outside, you try and pick the obvious differences. It's been in the past side pods, but you spoke to all the team's technical director at the time about why your side pod's different. Is this an explanation? They all said, no, it's not. You're making too much of it. So we kind of focus on the things that are very visually different. There is differences between the suspension systems. We've got, you know, pull rod v push rod at the front. The same at the rear. Ferrari's, you know, stuck with what it did last year. Mercedes has changed. Its customer teams have changed. I think we're coming down to details. I think you're coming down to tiny little areas of difference that are absolutely critical. As I think the teams have understood these regulations, these are cars that want to run, deliver their peak performance as close to ground as possible, but you need to control the car as much as you can so it doesn't porpoise, it doesn't strike the ground, it's delivering the downforce and the right speed of corners. So the suspension's absolutely critical, but I don't think you can definitely say the push rod, pull rod layout that Red Bull and McLaren have got is the secret. But I think understanding how the car works, getting the dynamics right, your aero platform, understanding the package as a whole, that's the key to it all. And as Andreas Stella told us tonight, it's now a game of millimetres.
Absolutely. We shall wait and see if McLaren have a little ace up their sleeve during pre-season testing next week. But for now, we are down to just one remaining team to unveil their 2024 challenger. It's Red Bull Racing unveil what is set to be the car to beat. Thanks for listening to the Autosport Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.